We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome to the RotoWire DFS show. I'm Adam Strike, joined by Ryan Belangi. We're talking Tuesdays. Oh my gosh, the background is not updated. There we go. Now we're good. We're talking Tuesdays slate at DraftKings. Ryan, did you play Bruno, Kudus, and Cho? Was it Cho, the South Korean forward? Did you play those three guys today?
Not together. No, I don't. I had a rough day. How about you?
My best lineup in it had Andre Ayew in it. That lineup had Kudus. It had I can't remember, but it finished. It was in the money, but it just had Andre Ayew, who had like 1 point. His brother was the one with 19. It was something at the end of the day. I'm just realizing I didn't believe in myself, I guess. I don't know if you listened to our show yesterday, but the implied total on Ghana, South Korea was 2.3 or something around there. And I just didn't believe it because those teams needed to win. And I didn't fully attack that one while also betting under 2.5 goals on the Brazil-Switzerland match. And I really should have been off of – you know, the Rafinha-Vinicius route of going both those guys with my overall thoughts of thinking goals in that first match and then the under in the next match. I just didn't listen to myself because I was like, well, it's Brazil, so I'm just going to plug these guys in. I didn't listen to myself. I listened to the odds kind of a thing, so that kind of backfired on me.
Yeah, man. Yep, tough day for me too. I planned for Guerrero. So I had Bruno and Guerrero going into the Portugal game and no salary. And of course, Guerrero didn't start. And I didn't even need to get off Bruno. I could have taken a zero.
Oh.
I mean, and I galaxy brained myself into swapping Bruno. And, So yeah, I got curb stomped.
So for this one, we got Netherlands going against Qatar, 78% chance to win, 2.4 implied goal total. England are just below them, 1.90 implied goal total. Then you got USA against Iran, and then you got Ecuador and Senegal. Overall, I don't think there's too much I have to argue about in terms of these odds. The disagreement I had with the odds are in the corners numbers. You can actually benefit if you bet corners in these matches, but you know, that's not fully related to DFS purposes. But check out my betting article if you're interested in that. Do you have any thoughts on these odds here? I don't think anything really stands out like yesterday's slate.
Not too much. I thought Netherlands would have a little bit better clean sheet odds. I thought England's goal total would be two, nothing crazy.
Yeah, we have the Wales and Iran, and basically expect them to sit back even Ecuador to sit back a little bit and just kind of accept the blows, because I guess we should talk about what these teams have to play for before we get into it. So Netherlands, they are not guaranteed first place in their group, so they basically need to win, and they're going against Qatar, who have had mistakes in all of their matches. Ecuador are fine with the draw, so Senegal are basically in the United States' position. Senegal need a win if they want to advance, and I'm kind of surprised that they're actually underdogs now that I'm looking at it a little closer here. I'm kind of surprised Senegal are underdogs. They are the one that needed to win, and I believe that they're probably pretty even to advance before the match has started. USA, we know they need to win against Iran, and then England, I guess kind of in the same situation as Netherlands, but that I guess England probably have a desire to win least amount of these teams, but they're playing against Wales, so I'm not sure like they're going to employ the same strategy they had against the United States.
I think England will be out to like win that game and put on a good performance, you know, mm-hmm. especially after the United States game. You know, they've gotten a lot of criticism over here.
Yeah, definitely believe that one. Have you seen anything about potential England lineups? I know Southgate was talking about guys being tired and that kind of thing. I didn't want to put Henderson into the starting 11 over Bellingham because it just didn't feel right. But I know he mentioned Bellingham possibly being tired a little bit, Harry Kane possibly being fatigued, through Grealish and Foden in there. We'll see if maybe it's Rashford getting the start instead of Foden. Have you seen anything in terms of who's going to start kind of thing?
I've seen two things so far. Yeah, Henderson's going to start. Yeah, for Bellingham.
That's what it is.
I think that's for sure. I think.
Okay, I'll plug him in. I don't want to.
Obviously, but not for sure, but from what I heard, it seemed like it, and okay. It seems like Phil Foden's going to start. So yeah, you have him in there. But yeah, other than that, I'm not sure.
Okay. All right. So getting to the DFS portion of the show, I think it's funny to say here, but I have my must on this slate for cash games here, maybe for tournaments, but Christian Pulisic, 9K, plug him in. Are you thinking the same thing? Plug him in.
Yeah, I okay. am. Yeah.
Good.
I mean, I plugged him in for 9K against England, you know, so I'm going to plug him in for 9K here against Iran. I mean, I think really the only argument, and it's not even a good one, but if someone were to say, well, I want as much Netherlands as possible against Qatar, but I don't think that's the right move. I mean, you know, we have Depay's 11K and Gakpo's 10.6. Those are big price tags. And, you know, their other guys aren't really cash plays, so Netherlands are tough. Yeah, I want to play Pulisic for sure. So who else? Who are the other locks?
I honestly think none of the other guys are locks because, I mean, you're going to have to make a decision of where you want to spend up. That's going to be at defender, or if you want to spend up at like your other forward, I think you'll have to make decisions. But I think just because of Pulisic's price that you can pretty easily plug him in here. And I mean, we consider like the goal upside of all these Netherlands guys, but you got to consider just the floor upside for Pulisic. I mean, what if the United States don't score in the first 70 minutes? Like, he's going to get a ton of corners. I mean, sure, even if they score early, I don't think they're going to sit back anyway. But so I guess the question here is, we talked about this on the last slate for Netherlands. What are we doing with Depay at 11.1K and Gakpo at 10.6K? Yeah.
I mean, you know, I think it's, I don't know, you know, I think it's probably a pretty simple decision because
you think it's Gakpo.
Yeah, I mean, Depay hasn't taken any set pieces yet, and he hasn't played longer than 45 minutes, so I don't really care that he has pens. Like, yeah, I don't know, you know, I lean Gakpo, I guess. What do you think?
Between the two, I'd say I agree. I think Depay, you probably do that more as the tournament route, the GPP route. I mean, I know guys were doing that because they knew he was getting 45 minutes off the bench. And
Right,
this
right.
time, if he starts, it seems like, 60 to 70 minutes with him. He has the
Yeah.
brace upside and all that. But for cash games, what if he's not even taking corners?
I mean, that's the thing. What if you play Depay and he's not taking corners? But also, what if you play Gakpo and Depay takes everything? I mean, you're gonna feel pretty dumb, you know?
You're
What
still
if
getting more minutes from Gakpo, at least that,
You'd
at
think
least
so,
you
yeah.
assume so. You assume so. I said the same thing, well, a similar thing about Ferran Torres with Spain between him and Olmo, and I was clearly wrong on that one because Ferran Torres went off in like the 55th minute or something in that game, which was
I
stupid, but
mean, yeah. Luis Enrique's keeping him fresh.
yeah, well, that's exactly what I'll keep saying.
But yeah,
So,
so what if I was gonna say what if Berghuis starts too?
are you coming up with a way to not play either Gakpo or Depay? Is that kind of what
Well,
you're
the
trying
thing
to
is,
figure
I think
out?
you can play them pretty easily. It's one of them. I think you can play one of them pretty easily. Well, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of plays like on the slate. You don't have to, but you definitely want a piece of Netherlands. I mean, it's clearly the best spot.
I think if we had Foden as a forward option, it'd be a little more interesting, but he's midfield only at 7,700, so that kind of takes away from that. Because I would even consider Foden over like Gakpo at forward if he was eligible to
Yeah,
play
no,
there.
I would too, just because of price, yeah.
So Harry Kane, 9,500, not gonna go there in cash games. I mean, I guess there's a chance Callum Wilson starts, but I kind of doubt that. Otherwise, we have Bergwijn. Let me check his goal odds here. Bergwijn should be up there. His goal odds are about the same as Gakpo, 7,300. So, I mean, if you don't want to spend up at two forwards, I guess you could go down to Bergwijn just because of his goal odds, but it doesn't seem like the safest move.
Yeah, it'd be tough to click Bergwijn, right? But I get it. I mean, you make a good point. It's a great matchup, and the goal odds are good. I mean, you look at his log coming off at halftime. I mean, look at those floor points, 2 and 1.8, or 2 and 2.3 and 1.8. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I want to spend up at both spots, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a great tournament move. I'm not, because he's not going to be like one of these guys who is that popular to where you're going to be on the same route as everyone else. But I mean, you just look at Qatar and the goals that they allowed against Ener Valencia in that first game. And then they allowed goals to both the Senegal's forwards in the other game. So, I mean, you kind of look at these forwards and it's like, well, I mean, this back line has really struggled, so.
These spots are so tough, yeah, because I mean Netherlands should just dominate. Like if you knew Bergwijn was playing 90 minutes, like yeah, I'd play him in cash then. You can see like Netherlands being up 3-0 at halftime and subbing three guys off at half, you know, that sort of thing. I don't know. Yeah, he's a good tournament play.
So, I'm just scrolling up and down this list. There's not a ton more, but I guess we kind of have to mention the Senegal guys. We got to mention Crispin Diarra again. He's 5,200, and this not Estrada, Didio is 3,900. He played forward. He got the goal in the last match against Qatar. Does anyone else actually just stand out to you at forward, or is it kind of we're stuck with Netherlands and Pulisic kind of a thing?
Yeah, you can't play either of those guys. I don't think so. Just because that's not the construction for this slate. There's cheaper defenders, you know, we can play that we'll talk about. Yeah. No,
Would
you
you look
can't.
at
Like,
Sterling if he started at 7,400?
no, I'd rather play Bergwijn.
Okay.
I think so, at least. I wouldn't want to play either of them, but
Yeah.
I
Yeah,
don't
I
know.
don't.
I just like do you I just don't see I don't see that construction. I
No.
guess like well, it depends what we're gonna do at midfield, but
What if James Maddison started for England? Would that change any of your thoughts on anything?
I mean,
Like in Mason Mount's role?
I don't think you could play him. He's
Okay.
like he's injured. I
Eh.
mean, he like just returned to training, right? I mean, there's no way I could play him for 8,700. I don't know. Maybe we'll know England's lineup, but I don't know if we're gonna know England's lineup.
Yeah, I guess it's a problem in the.
And I mean, we have guys from the first game, like since we're at midfield, like I want to play one of these Ecuador guys. Maybe you don't, but I wanted to play Estupiñán or Plata.
Okay.
Not really Plata, but I wanted to play Estupiñán at least. I thought it was a good price. 90 minutes and set pieces for a team that's favorite.
6,300 for a Stupinian.
Weird, yeah, I know, but
Would you
Ecuador's.
want, I guess, I mean, Ismaila Sarr is right there at 6,700. So you'd rather play Stupinian here?
I think so, yeah. I
Okay.
don't know. Maybe I'm in the minority there. No, I don't think so. No, I think it's a better play.
Well, just in terms
Just
of this
for a floor.
matchup, you mentioned Ecuador are favored, but I mean, Ecuador are a pretty defensive team, and they are the ones that have the edge because they drew Netherlands. So Senegal are the ones that need to push a little more. Is that going into your thoughts at all?
Yeah, a little bit, but yeah, I don't like Qatar need to push against Netherlands. Is that going to go into your thoughts at all for maybe
Well, it's a
fading
different situation.
Netherlands? What?
I mean, Senegal and Ecuador are basically they're on the same level in terms of
Yeah, no,
talent, in terms of their
I hear you.
teams.
But Ecuador like hasn't locked up a spot. I mean, I don't know. Have they?
They're still, if this match draws, then Ecuador advance. Like Senegal
Right, but what
need to
if?
win.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I'm not really considering it that much. I know what you mean. Like,
I mean, it's the same as the USA-Iran situation because USA need to win. Obviously, USA are a little better than Iran, so that's why it's a little different for Ecuador-Senegal. These teams are kind of on the same level.
yeah, no, I
But
hear you.
that's why I'm kind of worried about something like Estupiñán. If I mean, sure, there would be counters and that kind of thing, but will he be getting as forward as he has in the past? I know
Yeah.
he's on set pieces, but how many corners are they going to get? So,
Okay, maybe not, like, and I hear you with all that, but it's Senegal. Like, they just can't really play like that. Like, at least I don't think so. Like they can like try to win and go for it, but it's not going to be like Senegal, I don't know. Like Portugal was against Uruguay today. It's not going to be like that.
are you overrating Ecuador is my next question.
Man, maybe. I
Okay.
don't know. Maybe I am. I don't know.
Before the tournament, I
I
had
just
Senegal slightly above Ecuador. Those are my
yeah.
thoughts.
Maybe I guess I could be wrong. I guess without Mane, I don't know. I liked how Ecuador looked against Netherlands.
You didn't like how Senegal looked against Netherlands?
No, I did.
Okay. I'm just
I
trying to get to the
mean,
bottom of this here.
okay. I thought Senegal showed big holes against Qatar, a really bad Qatar team. Like, I actually couldn't believe some of the stuff. Like, that should have been the easiest match ever, and Senegal should have scored 5 or 6 goals. Whereas Ecuador, I know you can't really compare it like this, but I don't know. I just thought their players are technically better. I just would favor them if the two sides played each other.
You don't think it was a situation that, you know, they got two goals and they're like, we don't really have to worry about this team, so they kind of took their foot off the pedal, that kind of situation? I mean, kind of like,
yeah, maybe
kind of like England when they scored a bunch of goals, they allowed two against Iran.
That was a little different, but those were sort of, those were like fluky-ish goals. No, I see what you're saying. Like, no, it's a pretty even matchup. What are the odds? I agree with the odds. I mean, Ecuador's a slight favorite with a little bit higher goal total. I mean, that's kind of what I think. Ecuador is a little bit better team. So I'm fine with playing Estupiñán for that price when he's
Estupiñán over Sarr. Okay.
Yeah, man, I don't know. Like, Sarr, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
I guess while we're on 90, on this game, Idrissa Gueye here, set piece taker, 4,400. Is he in your consideration?
Yeah, I think we've just put him in there, right?
Okay.
4,400.
Well, we have some cheap options here that aren't in the, like, we have these central midfielders who aren't in the worst situation. So I think there are guys that we wouldn't normally look at. Someone in our chat's even asking about Jordan Henderson here, which might be a little bit of a stretch. But, I mean, if Jordan Henderson starts, he's 3K. England are going to be the attacking third, the majority of that match. I mean, sure, he's defensive midfield, but we've seen guys in that situation score before. I mean, if he's next to Declan Rice, maybe Henderson actually gets more forward than Declan Rice. Maybe it doesn't matter. But also, I was going to say Weston McKennie is also down here. He's 3,600, and he was getting up. He was getting pretty forward in the last game against England. Just someone. I mean, there's game log watchers and everything, and maybe he's not going to be ready for more than 80 minutes. But his numbers were, you know, pretty bad against Wales, and then he kind of looked like one of their better players. Maybe should have scored in the game against England. Had that 5.7 floor. Now in a more favorable match, 3,600. So I think there are cheaper midfielders here that we can look at if you don't want to look at Gueye and, you know, bank on five corners or whatever.
Yeah, I think so too. But I think, I don't know, like, you probably just would do that in tournaments. I don't know why you wouldn't play Gueye. I guess if you needed the salary. I mean, with Gueye, at least you know Senegal need to win. He's playing 90 minutes and he takes set pieces. Like, no, he's not a must. He's not a must, right? But just seems like a safe cash game play.
All right, midfield.
You don't
is there
think
any...
so? You don't want to play him?
No. I mean, he's in my initial build, but I'm just thinking if you don't have the money,
it's a lock or anything,
right? Maybe if you want to spend up on two defenders or a goalie or something, maybe you go down to one of these guys. Because, I mean, we're talking about floors and you know, how safe these guys are. I mean, he's 4,400. His floor is probably only around 5 points in this matchup. So, like, what are we trying to get out of him? So, I mean, I think you can go down. It's not – no, he's definitely not a must, though. So,
yeah, I think you're, like, slightly underrating him. But, yeah.
I'm thinking too much about Everton, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I don't know. Maybe I'm overrating him. Yeah, I mean, he's not a must or anything.
It looks like he's set for 90, though, so that is one positive.
It looks like he's set for 90 and taking half the set pieces. I don't know. So he's in consideration.
Mm-hmm. So the other midfielders here.
So we haven't found a midfielder that Adam wants to play yet. So we gotta let's keep looking, I guess.
All right. So Foden 7,700, Grealish 6,600, Brendan Aaronson 6,400. Do you have any thoughts on those guys? Dumfries 5,500. Sorry. There's another one.
Dumfries is interesting.
A little intriguing for Dumfries, 5,500, I mean, Qatar.
If Dumfries was playing 90 minutes, I'd be playing Dumfries, and he might. Like, Dumfries is in consideration. I don't know why they lowered his price that much.
Well, he's committed six fouls in two games. I think that's the red flag for him.
I didn't think I would say that, but with this matchup, I'm considering him. Yeah. Those England guys. Man, I mean, Foden, but you want to know the rest of the lineup. I mean, Foden, I guess Foden is the only one that's in consideration, right? Because Grealish doesn't take set pieces for England. At least I don't think so. Foden splits sometimes. The set piece situation for England's weird. We don't know who their defenders are going to be either. I mean,
if Shaw and Trippier rotate,
you want to be looking for that lineup because I don't know. I can see Trippier not starting. I don't think Trippier is going to start if I had to guess.
Really? Just for like fatigue purposes?
Just for, man, they need to change up after that. And there's already, people have been calling for Alexander-Arnold for a while, and not just Alexander-Arnold. People have been calling for Kyle Walker now that he's fit. So I don't see Trippier starting, but it's just a total guess.
Is Kyle Walker fit? Did he actually come on one of these matches?
Kyle Walker is ready.
Okay, he's not on the bench. He just hasn't played yet, I guess. Okay. Yeah, it's just like if you want to spend up on maybe one of your midfielders, then that kind of takes away from what you want to do at defender, I guess is what it comes down to.
The thing is, I think we have some playable defenders, okay, so it's going to be fine. That's sort of why I'm at the construction that I'm at, but what do you think? Is Foden your guy at midfield? I mean, Dumfries? Someone else?
I don't know who my guy is. I don't know. Do I have to make a decision right now?
Look at this guy. He just said, reporter says Kyle Walker is in line to start tomorrow.
So if Kyle Walker starts and Foden's in there, would you look at Foden a little more then? Because, I mean, Walker's not taking set pieces, right?
Oh, no. Yeah, no, Walker's not taking set pieces.
The thought is that Foden would be on set pieces on at least one of the sides.
Well, maybe on that side, if it's Luke Shaw in there, who takes, Foden or Luke Shaw?
I mean, it'd still be a split, right? It'd still be a split.
No. They would take one side. Neither of them would take for Trippier. Who would take for Trippier would be Mount or Grealish. It would be Mount. I mean, look at Mount for 5,100.
If you're saying starts, don't play Foden, okay.
I mean, no, I'm saying Foden's a fine play. I just think it's somewhat risky.
Do we think Mount's going to start?
No, see, that's the thing. He started both games. But this is one of those things, like, Foden is expensive. Look at Mount's price. I mean, he's a lock even, like, without set pieces I would play. I mean, you know.
Oh, he's a lock. He's a lock in cash games, Mason Mount?
If you knew he was starting.
Oh, man. It's going to be like this, huh? I guess we need to find these lineups.
I mean, just think about it. How is he 5,100 against Wales?
Right.
I'm just saying normally he wouldn't be a lock, but we still haven't found one option that you like.
I mean, Mason Mount.
You're trying to play Jordan Henderson over Mason Mount.
I'm not. Someone mentioned it. So, yeah, Mason Mount is in the Crepin Diata, Frankie de Jong, that range. So, I mean, he does stand out.
Sorry, I was also speaking like Trippier's out.
Right.
That's why Mount would be a lock, because you'd expect him to take half the sets.
So if Mount doesn't start, you'd go to Gay and Weston McKennie.
I mean, so wait, now we have a lineup without Mount and without Trippier?
I don't know.
I think you'd want. Who's going to start? Then you'd want Jack Grealish if neither of those guys were in there.
Oh, man. All right, so defender.
So find yourself an England lineup is what we're saying.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
So at defender, is it maybe you just only go with one England fullback? You either go Trippier or Shaw. You can't go both because if they're both not starting, or is TAA, is there any chance TAA starts?
Yeah, there's a chance, but I don't know. This guy says Walker now. I kind of thought it might be Walker. Okay. I mean, even if it is TAA, I don't need the England fullbacks on this slate.
You're not playing England fullbacks. Okay, I guess
you
that's the
question. You guys can have them. Yeah.
Okay. Well, why is that?
First, I think I'm going to play Jacobs for 4,600, splitting sets for Senegal. Your boy is Senegal.
That's right.
And then we have two Iranian defenders that take sets. One guy played in the midfield last game, this Haja Safi. Kind of crushed. He's not the one that I want to play, though. This 3,100, however you say his name, Ramin Rezaian. He took a couple corners. He scored. I mean, look at that game log. How do you not play him for 3,100?
Rezaian.
Sign me up.
Is he going to be 50%?
I mean, I don't know because we don't – that's in the late game and – people probably don't want to play Iran, but I don't know if when you're scrolling down and you see 23.3 points next to his name, maybe he'll end up in some lineups.
Are you game log watching right now?
Well, if a 3,100 defender is averaging 23, I got to stick him in, you know?
All right. So he had two shots. He got the goal, four crosses, got a yellow card. Okay. How do you get a yellow card without a foul committed? Must have yelled maybe at someone.
Maybe celebrating his goal.
Yeah. So you figure Iran's going to get, what, three corners, going to play defensive a lot. So you're still just playing him because he's a wingback?
You know what? No, you know what? Until Josh Sargent scores in the 10th minute and Iran dominate for the next 80 and have 20 corners. You think how do you think this game's going to go? I think it's going to be... Dude, did you see Iran Wales? I mean, that was like a home match for Iran. It's going to be a hostile environment. I mean, Iran is up for this game.
So how many Iran guys are you getting? Two? Three?
I think probably just one. But if you played three defenders, it wouldn't be the worst thing, I don't think.
So in cash games,
Yeah.
There's an E, I, and A right next to each other. That's a weird one, right? So Rezi, yeah. I don't want to – I know the Americans are getting yelled at in the press conference because they're, you know, mispronouncing Iran and some other mm-hmm. things, but I don't want to get yelled at here for saying this guy's name, but I'll just – his nickname, Rezi, we'll call him that. Rezi Hui, is that what Jordan would go with? Rezi Hui? Yeah. Let's go with that route.
He's on this slate too.
So Rezi and Jacobs, we just plugging those guys in?
I mean, why not?
That would allow you to do a lot of things, really.
So now you see why I'm talking about these other guys that were in my lineup. And now I see why you're looking at Jordan Henderson.
I was not. I got Weston McKennie. Weston McKennie.
Sorry. Score. Weston McKennie. Even Weston McKennie, I mean, you might as well play this Golazade for 3,500. He splits sets.
Yeah, he's not favored, though.
Okay, fair enough. Neither was Pulisic.
Oh, yeah, before we go any further, England. Before we go further, I interviewed Brad Friedel this morning. We talked about the World Cup, and we dove into this matchup with the USA and Iran. So if you want if you want his exact goal predictions, listen to that show. If you want the exact goal scores he thinks are going to score, go with that show. But I will spoil it. One of his projected goal scorers is Weston McKennie. So, I mean, I almost feel like I have to make a DFS lineup for Brad Friedel, and then I won't split the winnings with him or anything like that. But
yeah, okay. No, that's fair enough. Just do it in the king of the pitch and not in cash.
Yeah. I understand that. Okay, so we're not going England fullbacks, but the England fullbacks, they're always in play. No question about that. Whoa,
yeah, no, I don't.
Ben White, 6,600. Are you going to play Ben White? He crosses it in a ton for Arsenal.
No, I don't think so. No, I don't want to write the England fullbacks off. Like,
no, definitely always usable.
They might be in play. I mean, you know, I guess there's a route where if you don't have to play the midfielders from that Ecuador-Senegal game and just save your money and use it on England when the lineup comes out. I mean, it's a good spot for England, but
right. I mean, this could be like a repeat of the England-Wales or the England-Iran match where England are probably 70-something% possession. Luke Shaw and Trippier or whoever is playing fullback are basically going to be wingers and up the field.
Man, yeah,
it might
even be a better matchup than that. I mean, Iran dominated Wales. I mean, it just dominated them the whole game. So England should crush Wales.
Yeah, I mean, they already played. They're already a defensive team who just kind of focus off counters and everything. But otherwise, a defender, I think there's a lot of just playable defenders outside of even the cheap ones. I mean, Daily Blind at 6,500 is probably too expensive when Dumfries is 5,500, but defender Anthony Robinson, 6,300, Sabali, 5,900, Preciado, 5,600. I mean, all these guys are playable.
They really priced all these guys up.
Right. I don't know why. There's all these center backs that are over 5K. It seems like I don't know what's going on, actually. There's way too many center backs that are at 5K or above.
How much Harry Maguire are you going to have at 5,200?
I messaged Jordan before the show. He said Harry Maguire 100%.
Yeah, there's way too much. Oh, my. John Stones is 57. I mean,
we'll see if Jordan actually listens to this show, if he'll make a comment about that. But
oh, I didn't even see this. Nathan,
I mean,
Ake,
Zimmerman's
40.
Zimmerman's more expensive than Dest. Like, something was wrong with the algorithm because all these center backs are way too expensive.
Yeah, definitely. Like Nathan Ake, 6K. What is going on?
Isn't this Ahmed guy a midfielder? No, maybe not. Well, I thought he was.
No,
but
he's the wing back. Okay. He's the left wing back.
All right. I mean, this Rezzy down here at 3,100.
He's looking even better now, right?
He is looking better.
What about and Jacobs, you know? I mean,
yeah.
You know, if you don't want to pay Jacobs, if you don't want to play Jacobs, I guess you can find the 600 and get up to Maguire.
Yeah, that's probably oh, no. No.
I mean, Maguire's only 600 more than Jacobs if you really don't want Jacobs.
Though, I mean, you could argue this is like the same game as the Iran one. I mean, I guess he still had the assist and still only had 11 points, but 3 shots in 2 matches. So there you go.
Oh, yeah, he could score for sure. He was like their biggest threat against the U.S.
Man, the defender pricing is just wild here. Why is Ben White the same price as TAA was?
That's what I mean. So how do you not just pay down for these guys that are taking sets? It seems pretty easy.
Yeah.
Especially when you want to spend up at the other positions.
Yeah. All right. Well, Well, do you want to spend up at goalkeeper here? Netherlands 50%, England 47%, USA 38%, Ecuador 35%. That's clean sheet percentages. So, I mean, do you want to spend up on the Netherlands goalkeeper against Qatar, where it seems like it's a match where if Netherlands get three goals, they're kind of going to be a little bit lackadaisical and, you know, allow a goal in the final 10 minutes kind of a thing?
Yeah. I'd like to. Yeah, I'd like to. I don't know if we're going to be able to afford it. Maybe.
Well, if you go with Jordan Henderson, you can easily afford it.
Yeah.
All right, let me plug in Rezzy and see how easy it is to. So who would you rather want, Nopert or Pickford?
Probably Nopert.
Just based off the odds, or that's your personal?
Yeah, and because I think the odds are a little bit off. Like I mentioned at the start, I was expecting to see Netherlands 60% clean sheet.
Okay. You're not worried about,
like, Qatar got their goal last game. Like, the story's over, you know? I mean, it was cool. I'm glad they scored. But they should not have scored. That I don't know. Like, you feel different, I know. No, I don't think Netherlands has been great. Maybe I'm wrong. Like, I was, I've been wrong on a ton of stuff. I just got Uruguay wrong again.
Are you underrating Akram Afif? He's been good. He's been pretty good.
He's all right. Yeah, he's all right. But
okay. Yeah, scoring the odds, no part makes sense. But no, I think you can make reasonable lineups with Rezzy and Jacobs here. Even with Gakpo and Pulisic, like, you can put in to where you're looking at Gay or Saar or
I was Stupinian. Also thinking about playing Foden, though, too. So that then I was maybe
okay,
you know. But yeah, don't have to, you know.
Right.
I think if we don't figure out the England lineup, I'll probably wait on keeper. So I probably wouldn't play.
I think with the lineup I just mentioned, there's a pretty clear build here, and then where you just plug it in Dumfries in your utility spot because you're sitting around this 5,500 number.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's just there's in like a dead zone here, like below Estupiñán, below Plata, I guess, 6,200 to, I don't know.
That's the dead zone.
Yeah, just below there, it's the dead zone. But I mean, I guess Dumfries probably stands out the most out of those guys, unless we're in a situation with Mount kind of a thing. But I mean, you're not going to be able to figure that out.
Yeah, so I had Foden. I had Gakpo, Pouli, Estupiñán, Gay, Jacobs, Rezball, Foden.
Gay, Estupiñán. Oh, and you had a different goalkeeper. You didn't spend up at goalkeeper. No,
I see. Well, I couldn't with that lineup.
Yeah, so the 2v2 might be like a Dumfries and Nopert, or Foden and Hennessy, Foden and Ward, Foden and Barsham.
Man, I can't believe Dumfries. I mean, I can't believe I'm considering Dumfries, but it's a good price.
Yeah, so of the cheaper goalkeepers, does anyone stand out? I would say the Iran goalkeeper actually stands out for me, just because.
Yeah, that's the one that was in my lineup. It works perfectly with him.
Just because the USA aren't, at least they don't seem like a team that's going to, you know, put on 3-4 goals. I mean, their attack just has some issues here, and they're still trying to figure out what their number nine, what their striker role is going to look like. Talked about that with Brad Friedel, if you haven't checked out that show yet. But where are these other teams like Netherlands? You can easily see these guys putting on 5 goals. England already put on 6 goals in this tournament. So I just don't think USA really have that in them, especially against, you know, a solid Iran team. So,
yeah, I agree. I couldn't use the other ones in cash.
Someone's asking us about FanDuel prices. if you have questions about that, just go to our Discord. I'll probably answer there, but we don't really talk about FanDuel here. Their contests just aren't big enough for us to give consideration to them. So,
yeah, I haven't been able to play FanDuel for the last like 3 years since I've been over here, but I may dip my toes back in when I come back to the States next month. We'll see. I
don't know. Contests are just small.
Yeah, that's what I heard from you and other people, and everyone seems to say that.
FanDuel doesn't care about soccer.
Yeah.
Until it's a USA single game, where their USA single game contests are bigger than any Premier League slate I've seen this season. So there you go.
That's crazy. What was it, like 100K to first?
No, it was only 20K to first. This game is 10K to first.
Oh, I see. I hear. Sorry, I misunderstood. I know what you mean. Yeah.
The Premier League ones are 4K to first. They all fill hours before the slate closes, and FanDuel doesn't change anything. These contests just fill up, and FanDuel is just going along with it. So we're not going to give them attention because there's no reason to.
Right.
All right. So for tournaments here, we kind of talk about tournaments a little bit, but so four game slate, I guess we just overall strategy. This is the first four game slate of the World Cup. Previously, you know, you mentioned we're not playing these like Premier League slates where like all these floors are guaranteed. You kind of want to build out how you think all these matches are going to go. Is that still the same situation in four game slates though? And also in the third match of group stages, because we have like the situations where these teams need to win to advance.
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, you just heard how tough it was for us to figure out who to play in cash. I mean, that kind of says it all. It's because you got to figure out these spots. There's a lot of unknowns. So what we were talking about the other day, you got to pick one and fade one. But I was just going to say before that, like, I feel like we didn't help people very much. I'm looking at midfielder here. So, you know, we got Saar, Estupiñan, Dumfries, Gay, Foden, and like, McKinney, nobody knows who, Henderson. nobody knows who anybody's playing. Like, who's the best play? I mean, you got a bunch of those guys in the early game. You're going to have to make a decision. You got Saar there. You got Estupiñan there. You're going to have Dumfries there. You're going to have Gay there. You can't play all four of those guys. Do you want to play an England guy later? It's going to be some decisions on this slate.
Davy Klaassen, if he starts in attacking midfield again? 5,900?
Maybe for tournaments.
I guess I'll mention tournaments. Yeah, sure. I was just gonna say Jahan Bash is suspended, so he's not gonna be on set pieces if anyone's looking at the Iran set pieces.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's big for our Iran guys. Jahan Bash suspended.
Yeah, it'd be Rezbal and Golizade.
Okay. So for tournaments, what I don't think you do, I don't know about this slate specifically. I'll try to relate it to this slate, but I never really want to take like just like the one expensive guy from each spot. Like, think of these other slates. Like, you don't want to take like Cristiano and Mbappe and whoever from the other team. And like you're thinking like, oh, these three guys are gonna score 30. And you know, it just doesn't happen like that. You want like all the expensive attackers from one spot. And maybe with like a one-off here and there, but yeah, like I wouldn't try to just like pick a bunch of guys out like you do more in the Premier League. So maybe.
All right. So let's run through it here. So, you mentioned Netherlands. We mentioned the 5-goal upside. So Netherlands are in this play, correct?
Yeah. And so they're also, there might be a lot of goal. There might, you know, we saw more goals today. We could see more goals from England and Netherlands. And if you get a lot of goals, then price matters a lot more. Because, you know, when there's not that many goals, you will pay whatever dollar amount to get those goals. But if we're going to have some more goals, then yeah, you can maybe fade some of these expensive guys. I mean, you can make cheap Netherlands stacks. Bergwijn and Dumfries, those are cheap guys with goal upside. England will have like similar spots. Everyone's pretty cheap on England except Kane. So I don't know. I'll be looking at like stacking those spots.
So for stacking those spots, are you the type to throw in the center backs like a Stones or a Maguire or the central midfielders in those stacks like Rice, Henderson? No, that's not a joke. De Jong, Koop Miners, Berghuis. We saw today Casemiro scored. Like if these teams are going to be in the attacking third the majority of matches, these defenders, these midfielders are going to be near the top of the box where they get shots off. So do you play the central midfielders, the center backs in situations like this?
Generally speaking, yeah. Like, especially if you need it, like if you're going to try to roster expensive guys, like what if you played Depay and Gakpo? Then yeah, I would be looking to pair it with Frankie De Jong. Or like if you play a bunch of guys and you know you're going to need 4 or 5 goals from that game, there's probably going to be 4 or 5 assists. So hopefully you get one from a guy like that. So yeah, I like doing that because yeah, it just makes sense. It correlates well. And you know, people are going to be playing like who are they going to play in that range? Like Idrissa Gueye, and he's going to be in people's lineups with 6 points. So, like, you can take chances on some of these other guys.
Yeah, definitely don't use Gueye in tournaments, I'd say.
Right.
But you.
This is tough. It's tough to talk about without knowing these lineups. But just in general, I think you want to – like, the last few days, we've called out like certain spots and certain games have went off and then other games end 0-0. It just keeps happening. So I wish I could tell people which ones it was going to be, but I don't know.
So we talked about Netherlands and England. Are you considering any kind of stacks in this Ecuador Senegal game in tournaments, or is it just not a place you want to attack here?
I actually think it's in play.
Okay.
People might not, but if Senegal get an early goal, yeah, that you could. Yeah, that's the type of game that can be back and forth. Like,
I think if Senegal get an early goal, It'd be in the same range as like this South Korea Ghana match.
Exactly. Exactly. Because these are the types of teams that can't stop it. Like can't stop that stuff from happening. They're just not good enough. So when a game like gets back and forth like that, there's just going to be chances. Like, and a team usually won't be able to slow it down. So yeah, there's scenarios and the prices in that game are really good. Like if anyone scored for Senegal, Sarr, any of those two forwards. And then there's pieces on Ecuador that you'd want to have, like a ton of them. You could Estupiñan, Plata, Preciado, Estrada. I mean, they're all playable. We don't have Ener Valencia in there. They're all cheap too, though. So, like, another strategy I'll probably, you know, like, let's say we have and England. There's good expensive options here. The two Netherlands guys, maybe Kane, maybe Pulisic. So you're going to want some lineups with like two of those guys, and then you're going to need cheap pieces. You can find them anywhere, but I think Ecuador-Senegal game is a decent place. Like, I don't really want Iran guys other than – I get it. Like, I'm just – it's more of like a – I don't want Iran to score, you know, like I'm not trying to play Iran when we need US to advance, to win, to advance, you know, I get it. Like, go ahead, play Iran. Like Asmund's a good price. I might play a couple actually. He's cheap, but I just think I'm not paying 8,400 for Taremi. Other people can do that.
So
I'll focus on the other spots.
We've mentioned just like the USA bump in their matches. Has there actually been a bump though? I feel like Pulisic has kind of been not as popular wasn't that popular on the last slate, if I remember correctly. You played him, I believe, but he wasn't popular, yeah. Correct?
No, he wasn't very popular. He was like 25% or something, and that was a 3-game slate. Man, you got to think he's going to be popular here, right? I mean, what are people going to do on this slate? I just never know.
Yeah, it's just hard to. It's hard to gauge the USA bump. Is kind of what it.
Do you even know though? Do people want to play England or Netherlands?
I assume so. I mean, do people look at the odds? I don't know. Look at the odds.
Okay.
Netherlands have one more goal implied than the USA do. You got to think people want to play Netherlands.
Yeah, I know. It's expensive.
Granted, it seems like we can't really project any kind of ownership in the World Cup. It seems like anytime we talk about this, it's like, well, we don't know, but probably this guy, and then it doesn't end up being that guy, kind of thing. So,
this guy, give us the nuts. I wish I knew, man. I don't know what the nuts is, but. We don't have an England, like, I don't know. Stacking the Netherlands looks pretty good to me, though.
I think I'm going to have a USA, some kind of USA stack here.
Who are you going to play on Iran? No, I mean, you don't have to play anybody, but just the defenders that we have?
Well, I think, like, what we saw from Portugal against Uruguay today, just fresh in our minds, you mentioned it a little bit ago, but... I think this USA Iran match could turn into what we saw in Portugal Uruguay, where Pulisic is in the Bruno Fernandes role, kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you get, I don't really want to play like whoever their number nine is going to be, but maybe Aaronson starts. Maybe you get him. Maybe you want Weah or something like that. Throw in a central midfielder or fullback or something like that. I almost ignore what you think the most popular builds are going to be on the slate. You just go with what you want to do, kind of a thing. And for the Netherlands, for England, I think those teams are more likely to sub out their top guys. Like we mentioned Depay, he's not going probably past 60 minutes. Bergwijn always in play to be subbed out. If Netherlands have 3 goals, yep. Gakpo could be out. Same with the England guys, always the case with them. USA... Pulisic, if they're up one goal, he's going to be playing 90 minutes. Even if they're up 2 goals, he's probably still in play for 90 minutes. So you look at these USA guys, more likely to go 90 minutes, still have plenty of upside from, you know, goals, assists, but also plenty of floor points because you think they're going to be at least putting some pressure on Iran for a good portion of this match until they score. So I think we just ignore the possible USA bump in this situation and just go with some kind of USA stack because it's almost like you at least get the 80 plus minutes from these guys, but you also have some of the upside. I know. I mentioned we're not going to see 4 or 5 goals, but
no, you might not need it though. I mean, right. you, what you hit on is actually like, hey, I've been thinking about that too. That's like, the Netherlands and England guys, you can make lineups without them. And it's weird because they're like clearly in the best spots. But yeah, I agree with you. You could see a lot of those guys getting subbed early, a lot of the best players getting subbed early. And even with goals, you know, come off with 17 points or something. Something that's not like a lock to get on the winner. Yeah, I think that's a good strategy. And I think Pulisic is a great play, so I'm going to have him in plenty of lineups. But I don't think people are going to play the other USA guys, really.
Right. I think because, I mean, they're not so cheap, but they are cheaper to where, like, if you want Pulisic and Aaronson, Weah, whoever, really, if you want those guys, you can still plug in maybe just, like, a Netherlands guy, maybe the England fullbacks in this lineup because you'll probably have some money to spend at defenders. So maybe you could get the 10 plus point floors from the England fullbacks with the USA goal assist kind of thing. Maybe like Dumfries is in this range as well to where you can plug them in. I mean, I mean, we've seen Dumfries with a goal and assist in a game. And it seems like maybe he's as likely to go, or maybe more likely to go 90 than some of the attackers. So,
I think that's better advice than I gave. I think you, another thing you can do if we don't have any of these lineups, you can just not play anybody from the first two games and just wait until those last two games, and they'll be all the guys will have lower ownership, I think, than at least Netherlands being in the first game, and then make decisions. I don't know.
Cool. All right. Any other thoughts here? This was a longer one, but we got four games now, so I guess it's kind of giving us some more questions to answer. But
this is a tough one. Yeah. This is a really tough one.
All right, cool. That is it for Tuesday slate at DraftKings. RotoWire.com/soccertrial, free 2-day trial. You can get this cheat sheet if you've been watching on YouTube or Twitter. Get this cheat sheet, and you can see the goal odds. You can see the goal scores, and we now have stats. You can see the free kick tracker, which is always important. You can see the what England have done on free kicks. Trippier, Shaw splitting that role, but if Trippier doesn't start, we'll see what happens. Res ball's in there as well. And then we got the stats. The floors per 90. We have Ismail Muhammad has the third best floor on the slate. Res ball, fourth best floor on the slate from his 90 minutes of work. That's what the cheat sheet does for you. But Ryan, you can find him at Ryan Balaji. I'm at Rotos Drake. Thanks for watching. We'll be back tomorrow to discuss the next slate. Ryan, thank you.
Thanks. Good luck, everybody.